you're having to cope with the world now that's so upside down. And there's some certain things that we'll discuss. But over my lifetime, there's been emergency awareness that I've discussed to a lot of groups. But the one thing that the number one book to me is this. Over the years, you can have all the knowledge for self-defense or book knowledge, head knowledge. It all comes down to this book to me is the number one emergency awareness, because from front to back, no matter what groups I spoke to, I always tell them, in here is what God wants you to know about Him, His only Son, and the Holy Spirit, from beginning to end. This is based on you as an individual. Now, I can't help you. The church can't help you. It all comes down to you getting into here and finding out what the Lord wants you and God wants you to be, or you can accomplish. Because in the end, when I was in Nam, death comes at any time. As a young man, it came quicker than what I even thought. So when I got into this, it showed me that if I do what this tells me, I'll have eternal life forever. Or if I don't do what this tells me, that I'll have eternity in hell. And one time at Akron University, when I was speaking on awareness, safety, and there were, and it's for all ages. It just isn't for 2-3 year olds, but it's all the way up to 90 some. And out of 500 and some odd people, sometimes when I start speaking, I get off different aspects. Well, that night the Holy Spirit had me really hit them on where they at. It's supposed to be on safety and on awareness. But somehow I got into the thing that this was more important than me telling them how they're walking in the world. Walking in here is a different ballgame. So we're going to take 40, 45 minutes at a time, have a break, and Joanne will wave at me, because I get carried away, as our small Bible study group knows. But one thing that, do you remember? We'll read some scripture here. But I always like to, this is for the younger generation as well as the old folks like me. Go back years ago. Go back way long ago, some of you. What are the 5 best toys of all time? When you were little.
Pop gun.
Pardon?
Pop gun.
Pop gun. A stick. Mm-hmm. A box. A string. A cardboard tube. You remember those? How about the little straws that you can hit the teacher in the back of the head with a spit wad? But they're all readily available for all ages. Fit every budget, powered by your imagination, and no batteries are required. But you remember at dusk, you'd have hide and seek? Or hula hoops. Who remembers hula hoops? Or climbing trees. I read an article this morning. The kids who are always on these cell phones. There's no activity anymore. They just sit there. And they're having heart problems, mental problems, as far as remembering or deciding, conscious what they're at and what they're doing, because they're not out climbing trees or running around, chasing each other. We used to play Knights of Columbus, round table all the time. Another thing that over the years, I write these down. Who remembers getting ice cream off of a real ice cream truck? Or my brother and I and the neighbor boys, pillow fights. Or laughing so hard your stomach hurt. Remember Kool-Aid in the summertime was the primary source of drink? Or toting your friends on your handlebars on your bike? And my youngest son, Mark, I had a dirt bike. It's 175cc, and our lane in Ohio on our farm was close to a half a mile long. So I'd take him up and down the road, probably going too fast as I, and he loved it, sitting on the handlebars, which is stupid on my part, which I found out. We went through the plowed field. I hit a culvert. Boom! The bike went straight up. When I hit the handle, it went high RPMs. The bike went straight up in the air. Mark went this way and I went that way. After the dust settled, I went over to Mark. Thought, oh, are you okay? He jumps up. He said, Dad, we got to do this again. But those are the days that when any parent could discipline any kid or feed him or use him to carry groceries, and nobody, not even the kid, thought a thing about it. But today, the fear in our lives because of drive-by shootings, drugs, and gangs. Back then, my parents and my grandparents, I was more afraid of them than anything else. But today that's changed. That's changed. I carry this with me. I call it Prepare for Battle. And it's a little thing that I've written on it. I have scripture verses, and I carry this with me everywhere I go. It has Titus 2:12. We should live in the evil world with self-control, right conduct, and devotion to God. And then I have several verses on do not lose your identity in Christ. We can't do that. We got to identify with Him for us to make it. I want you to write this down for me. I'm going to make you start writing now. It's kind of like a school project. Write down Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. Because on your own sometime, I want you to read these. Romans chapter 8, 1 through 11. And then 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. And I'm going to read verse 17 here quickly for you. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, lest, being carried away by the error of unprincipled men, you fall from your own steadfastness. And when you read that, I want you to underline that in your Bible. Fear, and do not fear in the Bible, God mentions 365 times. And I thought that was interesting because God is a mathematical genius. How He created your body, Your kidneys will process 3,000 gallons every day. But how God, mathematically, 365 times, do not fear. How many days are in a year? 365. Now, I want to read if you, I want to go to Luke chapter 22, and I want to read verses 35 through 36. And he said to them, when I sent you out without purse and bag and sandals, you do not lack anything, did you? And they said, no, nothing. And he said to them, but now let him who has a purse take it along, likewise also a bag. And let him who has no sword, let him who have no sword sell his robe and buy one. And then I'm going to go to Nehemiah chapter 4, and there's a few verses beginning with 13. Then I stationed men in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall, the exposed places, and I stationed the people and families with their swords, spears, and bows. When I saw their fear, I rose and spoke to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And I'll jump over to verses 6-18. As for the builders, each wore his sword girded at his side as he built, while the trumpeter stood near me. And then verse 21. So we carried on the work, with half of them holding spears from dawn until the stars appeared. Carry on your work, Nehemiah said. A shovel in one hand, and what do you have in the other? A weapon. A weapon. And in today's world, we're going to talk about that. Like Nehemiah, prepare by having an awareness, a mental awareness at all times. In today's world, when you drive around and when I drive around, what do you see? Phones. And where are the phones? They either had a earplug or it's to their head, even when they're driving. It's on the dashboard, which is down here. It's always consistently with them. Now, when you use this device, are you aware of anything? You're being more mentally attentive to what? What this electronic device is telling you, not what it's about you. People's peripheral vision is non-existent. In karate, I taught constantly, you have to be aware of 180 degrees what's around you, to know what's happening. We aren't doing that. We're letting some little device, either in your pocket or somewhere near you, control you. Why? It's come to the point that this thing is telling you what to do. And as far as when it comes to the Lord's word, it's non-existent. Do we carry this in our cars? No. What are you carrying around more? A silly phone. Your attachment. Because it's gotten you to believe that you are now attached to the outside world. But are you really? Do you know what's going on around you? People aren't realizing what's taking place. And when it does happen, you're so immune to it. Well, that's not me. What do I care? That's somebody else. It's not happening in McPherson. It's not happening in my front yard. It's not happening to me. But, folks, it is. We have to care again for one another. And what does the Lord say in this book? You forget caring, what happens to you? Question. You become immune. You become mentally non-existent to what's taking place. And that's what they've created in the phones, TVs, and movies, so forth and so forth. I can't say enough that you must be aware, all ages. I can go through statistics that would rattle your tree. Alcoholism. You know what the average age of alcoholism is for a person? 4 years old. When we lived in Wichita, I was really rude awakening because I was working with the Wichita Police Department as well as the WSU Department, and had a father come up to me. He said, Bud, that's my nickname, I have to tell you a story. My brother's son is 7. He's going through DDTs. Has anybody go through DDT, folks? At 7? Terrible. Screaming and hollering. Uncontrollable. So when I talked to his dad, well, Bud, you know, I thought it was cute when he was like 1 or 2 and I'd give him a sip of beer or whiskey. He thought I was kind of cool. Do you think it's cool now? No. Tears was in his eyes. Was he aware of what he was doing? No. Folks, we got to be aware of what's happening. And this is what we're going to discuss today. Be informed. Use your mental faculties. Stay alert. Guard. I wrote down, when I was on the Drug Abuse Council in Ohio. I was chairman for 5 years. And I used to bring up to be aware, because a lot of kids were vaping and smoking and all this other stuff. And I always asked the kids, what's in a cigarette? Anybody know? Why not? You have a lot of friends smoking it. The vapor, you don't want to know what's in a cigarette? Number one ingredient, bleach. 2, ammonia. 3, fiberglass, plastic. And a hornworm killer pesticide, formaldehyde, and sugar. And every cigarette, you have 1 to 2 teaspoons of sugar. Why? Because that's how they get you addicted. It's not nicotine. If you want to know what nicotine does to a person, give them about sure 100% cigar and make it breathe it in. And they'll turn green faster than a green apple. Sugar. When I was working at Republic Steel, we hired a doctor from R.G. Reynolds Company. We employed 5,000 people at our factory. So he came in my office. He said, I want to talk to you, Bud. It's okay. He said, all these ingredients are kept secret from the public. Yeah. He said, I'll tell you what they are. He said, the first one is sugar. In the cigarette, they take paper. They use bleach to bleach the paper because it's brown. Ammonia, Then they use this killer pesticide and formaldehyde in the paper to absorb the sugar. Because that's what they want you smoking. One cigarette is equal to eating a 6-ounce candy bar. That's why people get jittery, and after 20-30 minutes, oh, I gotta have another smoke. This is the same thing as what the phone is doing to the American people. Even in churches, before you walk in that door, why can't you turn off the phone? You can't, can you? Can you? Next Sunday, tomorrow, I'd like to have the pastor stand up and say, how many has a phone? 100% people would raise their hands, right?
No.
No? Well, praise the Lord.
My phone. I can't turn mine off because it's home.
Get a remote. But why do you leave it at home?
Because I don't want it hanging on me.
Why?
Because it tracks and traces and
controls you, right?
Yeah. It would if it could.
Why can't we let God's word control you? We don't do that anymore, do we? Another thing that I came across, and I won't go there, or my wife, she'll throw her book at me. But we're going to go through 10 things here real quick. And I want to take each one, there's 11 areas, and I want to take each area and discuss it. And I want you to write down each area. And as we go through this, if you have any questions, ask. I don't care, young or old. It's very important that you get involved in discussing this. Because from this small group, after we're done with this, and we'll probably have another session, then the other session is, the last 11th point is, how do we defend ourselves physically? And that's a lot of fun. Because they used to have guys dress up like hockey goalies. And then I'd have the ladies beat the tar out of them. Take bats, punch him, just knock the daylights out of him. Why? Because they're so frustrated. And once they get all this stuff out of them, they start listening and they start talking. But we aren't going to do that. But I would like to show you that there's some things that you can do to physically to restrain another person without he even knowing what's happening till the pain hits. We call it the 3-inch punch. But let's go on here. In today's safety world, you hear about these mobs going through department stores. Department stores are closing. And you hear and get frustrated that these criminals do a dastardly deed. They walk in the courthouse and you walk out the door, back door. No bond, no nothing. And they go out and commit another thing. And you guys know, even the younger people, the violence off your phones, TVs, movies, you name it. It's their constant. And it just never goes away. The violence that you're seeing. And folks, what you see, 68% of it is retained permanently in here. So all these movies, everything that you see that the media and Hollywood and everybody's putting out there. And the worst thing I came across years ago was Dungeons and Dragons. That was the beginning. And then the horrific war games these kids are playing, even today. These kids are up all night long for days playing. I had a kid at Bethany College. He worked on seeing how long he could go and how many days playing the game without falling asleep. And I finally had to take him to the hospital because on the eighth day, he became unconscious. He left. Folks, it's there. We got to realize it. You have to be aware. So let's go, I'll go through real quick these ones. And then write down Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26, relation to the flesh and the spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verses 5 through 16. Before we go there, everybody knows what an elephant is, correct? The elephant is the largest land animal on earth and one of the most powerful. Yet it takes only a strong rope to restrain one. Hear how it works. When the elephant is young, he is tied to a large tree. For weeks he will strain and pull, but the rope holds him fast, so eventually he gives up. Then when the elephant reaches his full size and strength, he won't struggle to get free. But once he feels a resistance, he stops. He still believes he's held captive and can't break free. Satan plays the same role. He's the rope. And in Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Just takes a little rope to restrain the largest animal in the world, a rope. What happened to us, folks, 2.5 years ago? Huh? Fear. That was Satan's rope. And we let it hold us fast. We didn't go to this word to decipher what the Lord wanted us to do, did we? No, we let fear take over, and look what's happened. We're going to cover basic safety awareness, when outside or walking, home awareness, driving, shopping, parking, travel, vacation, preparation, being informed, and also what is legal and illegal in today's world. Okay, I have these little things that I made up years ago, and I used to pass them out. Let's go to basic safety, write that down, number one, basic safety. Always have a mentally rehearsed plan of action as what you would do or where you would go in the event you are victimized in some way. Always have a mentally rehearsed plan. Two, always be alert and aware of your surroundings. Always walk with your head up. How many people do you see do that? Hardly nobody. When you walk with your head up, the blood flow to the brain is the greatest, and your peripheral vision is almost at 100%. And always display a sense of confidence and purpose. When a tiger chases its prey, it never goes for the fastest or the strongest. Instead, it picks the slowest and the weakest for its meat. The same can be said about human predators. And a human predator can be male or female in today's world. If two people are walking down the street, the less confident of the two will have a greater risk of being a victim. Interesting, isn't it? It's factual. I've seen it. I've been in court trials. One will show confidence, whether male or female, and the other one won't. And who they go for is the weakest part. Never fails. When you're walking, walk confidently, keeping aware of the people in front of you, behind you, and both sides. In some of my classes, we actually will meet a week later, and I'll say, okay, I want you to go out in the public. Go into Walmart or Target or someplace. And then go through it. When you get back to your car, write down who you saw in front, to the side, and behind. The colors they were wearing, the shoes they were wearing. Did they have glasses? Did they have a hat on? And what were they doing? Do not assume that because you live or work in a good area, like McPherson, do not relax your guard at any time, because McPherson is changing. What is our number one problem? Heroin in this town, big time. Predators come from every economic, ethnic, and religious background, and serial people, killers, comes from the rank of brothers, fathers, grandfathers, cousins, uncles, neighbors, and co-workers. And trust your instincts. One thing a guy doesn't have, instinct. He'll climb a tree, fall out of the tree, break his bones, crawl back up again, and do the same thing. A woman will have an instinct. I'm not going to climb that tree, because I know I'm going to fall down. Women have beautiful instincts. Always be physically and mentally prepared to run or escape an attacker, and especially to fight back. Now, physically. Let's talk about these young kids who are always on their phones. Why are they having heart problems? Because they don't do anything. And mentally, when was the last time that you read a book and you memorized a small poem? When I took Latin, my first 2 years in high school, we had one book for the whole class. She'd pass around the book, and we'd have to memorize so many Latin words and the English meaning. That's how I learned Latin. Miss Hazen wanted you to use your mental abilities, rely on yourself, and how fast you can memorize and learn. That's why Joanne says, well, how do you spell this word? And sometimes you can figure out other people's language because it's based upon Latin. Somewhere in there, there's Latin in meaning. Now, write this down. Wear sensible shoes and clothing that does not restrict your movement. Sensible shoes. I love it when I see these cowboy boots. I love it. Can they run fast? Nope. They're restricted. And clothing. Also, carry a personal alarm with you. You're asking, well, what's a personal alarm? A whistle? Can you imagine when you blow on a whistle, what it would do to someone who wants to steal something from you? If loud enough, it hurts your own ears. And the pastor will go along with, why do people, when they shoot guns, wear earmuffs? The noise. Or another little device is a ruler, a small ruler. It's legal. Not a stiff one. I had an old-time judge, because there was one of my girls who used a ruler, and she just bat that guy, I mean, just whooped him up good. And the judge called me forward. He said, Bud, what was her weapon? I said, a ruler. Really? I said, yeah, this is it, Judge. He said, case dismissed. There's other cases too. But you should seek items that you are comfortable with. And we'll get into that later down the line. One item is a pen. A pen for basic safety is legal. Now, if you're in a situation and you pinch your guy in this area underneath the armpit and squeeze it till his muscle fibers almost pop out, the pain is so excruciating that he'll actually go collapse mentally, exhausted from pain. But a pen in the same area, or inner thigh or outside thigh, take your pen sometime and take an orange or watermelon and it's like going stabbing the human flesh. You'll remember if you have to stab somebody with a pen. Now, don't do this on your husbands, please. Don't do this. I don't want them coming to me. What'd you do, Walt? Also, if you pinch somebody hard in the inner thigh, there's a nerve, if you're medically speaking. This whole area will cease to be able to use and squeeze with all your might. One time I had to go to court with her name is the same name as my wife, Joanne, and she squeezed this guy underneath her armpit so hard, she actually pulled out his muscle tendons. And he was suing her for $200,000 for reputable damages that he can no longer work. Well, he didn't have a job in the first place. And this old judge who I loved, who probably 50 times, every time I was in the courtroom, he would just say, oh no, here we go again. So, medically speaking, the doctor said that, and then I had to go through, and she was defending herself, and he was 6'5", and she was like 5'1". It was funny, because he looked at him and said, stand up. He was a football player at Akron. And he kind of laughed. He said, "Joni, stand up." She was 5'1", maybe 95 pounds wet. And he says, "What did you do to have this little girl do that to you? Well, she attacked me." He says, "No, you attacked her. Case dismissed. You're going to serve 5 years." But it's little things that we'll get into when we get to number 11. Also, if possible, when you're walking or driving, do not restrict the ability to use both hands, folks. Keep them out there that you can both use both hands at the same time. Do not restrict it. Also, you restrict sometimes by carrying your purse, bags, or packages, even when you're going to your car and you're leaving. If you can, have a cart or something. But keep these available. And when you carry your purse, never have it over one shoulder. Put it over the whole body. That's a must. That's a must. And we'll get to that later. And also, whatever you're doing, avoid a routine. That's why Joanne makes fun of me, and my kids used to say, "Dad always go pun duck roads," because I never went till I was going the same way. I always went another way. Because these people are watching that, folks. They know if you're in a routine, instantaneously. And also, even if you're by yourself and you're going shopping, have people in the church available that you can call, even if you're going to be gone 15, 20 minutes. Say, "I'm going to go to Walmart." Because we know. And also, that when you expect to return, that's important. That's very important. We'll get to that later. Also, if someone attempts to force you going with them, what's the one word you can use? Never say help. Fire? Fire. Praise the Lord for her name was Bertha. And I always say Big Bertha because she was a grandma and I loved her. And she was 92 and she went through one of my courses. And, she was just something else. But anyway, she always babysit the grandchildren because the kids were always wanting to go somewhere on weekends. So Bertha was at home. 5 grandkids were upstairs sleeping. 2 guys broke in her home because they know Bertha was by herself. And the first thing she remembered, she didn't confront them. She ran right through them out the door screaming fire. Just the top of her lungs. Everybody in the neighborhood thought there was a fire. So within 60 seconds or less, you had a whole neighborhood out there. Where's the fire? Bertha says, "In the house." "Well, what kind of fire?" She says, "I got 2 guys in there." Well, the 6 guys from the neighborhood went in. They found the one guy who he was so scared that he got himself in a closet, didn't know what to do. The second guy they found down in the basement because he fell down the stairs because he thought the door was an exit door. But that's another story. Now, number 2. How many of you walk? Outside or inside?
Outside.
Well, why?
Because I like the morning walking.
Okay. Do you walk with others?
Well, it depends on whether they have something else to do. If they're
Okay.
Uh-oh. I'm fixing to be aware. Nope, there's nothing behind me.
But you. But when you walk, you're not isolating yourself from others, right? When you walk, you're not isolating yourself from others, right? Because it's in the morning. Correct?
In the morning,
yeah. So are there neighbors out?
Depends.
Oh, depends. Okay. Now, question. Do you always walk on the side of the street facing traffic?
You're walking on the sidewalk. How are you doing?
Facing traffic. Why?
You see better.
Yeah, but avoid you being followed by an automobile or a van. Always walk on the side where you're facing traffic.
But in the first thing, not all streets, some of them just have one side of the sidewalk.
You mean one side sidewalk?
You're run over by the bicycles.
Hey, that's a good, I gotta write that down. Beware of potential bicycles, right? Okay. Avoid wearing headphones. Or have your silly phone in your pocket and you got something stuck in your ear. Don't do that. If you feel you're being followed, turn and look back to see who it is. Be always alert at all times. And look to where, if something you feel isn't right, look to where that you can avoid it. Run into a house or running into the middle of the street. And if you can, and I always mention this, if you drink alcohol, do not walk alone. Now, isn't that something? And plan your route and avoid shortcuts through parks, vacant lots, and poorly lit areas. And I can have stories on that one, big time. Some of these people think they took a shortcut. Nope, that was the wrong thing to do. And if someone attempts to attack you, yell, fire.
I got it now. Yeah.
Any questions so far before we go to the third thing? Is it 40? You want to cover one more thing or do you want to take a break? Keep going. Okay, home safety. I always think of Bertha. Home invasions over the years, because I've been in a black belt since 1963, and in 64, I was working with police departments. And over the years, home invasion, 80% of the time is carried out at night. And usually on a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, not during the week. And the home invasion wants to make sure that you're in there. They want to go in a home that is occupied. Isn't that interesting? And senior citizens and people living alone, business owners, are prime time targets for this type of crime. Almost every day I get a tweet on a home invasion. And the first thing we ask, were you in it? So far, 100% of the time, yes, people are. Now, why do they want to go into a home that's occupied? Interesting, right? Think about that. We'll get to that later. And the best defense, what I found out over time, of home invasions is education, planning, and implementation of your plan. When you're in your home, and you're in your room, and the kids are in the room, do you have a plan that you can implement that they subconsciously would do immediately without thinking? Do you, like Tarla and Rhoda and some others, do you have a plan that you will implement subconsciously if someone is in your home? And 60% of the time, there's usually two or three home invaders, not one. There's another reason for that. Also, I don't know what type of locks you have. Everybody should have a deadbolt lock. Now you're gonna kind of look at me kind of funny. Not only on your front door, your back door, but on the master bedroom door. Why? Because if there's two of you, and like Brian or me and Mike, or Terry, we go out to see what's going on, the wife should immediately deadbolt that lock, because you don't know. You don't know. I had a black belt one time. He went out, two intruders, they co-cocked him. And it's his wife, but it got his daughter in the master bedroom with a deadbolt lock. They would have never attempted to assault them. It was a mess. So remember that. It's kind of crazy. I'm sorry. At our home, we're on the second floor. I figured that's my deadbolt lock, because they'd have to go up 18 steps. And by that time, either they're going backwards, downwards, or I'll be facing them head on head. But if you're on the main floor, deadbolt lock. I know some people think that that's getting kind of far reach, but think about it. Oko, equip all doors and windows with locking devices. Do we do that? When we first came to church, I looked around and I thought, praise the Lord, there's no windows. Because people can't crawl into your window. They got to go through these doors. Without windows, they won't go through that door. Also, if you have bushes or trees around your doors and windows, trim them and keep the exterior of your home well lit. And in this day and age, have somebody else record your voice messaging on your phone or recording device and not yours, because they can use yours to do with it as they please. Have somebody else do it. And it's interesting, this is kind of a funny story, but my friend Jim Crawford, a salesman called his house. And this is kind of off cuff, but I like telling it. And he has a dry sense of humor like Royce does. Royce and I, we kind of get along because we're both dry sense of humor people. But you have to tell Royce this story. Well, Jim, this guy calls, right? He says, have you had flooding in your basement? Jim kind of said, well, we have a new type of, we can coat your exterior walls and your basement won't flood anymore. And Jim said, I wish you'd called me 2 days ago. Why? My wife drowned in the basement. I guess I didn't hit home, huh? Anyway. And the thing went click. The thing went click. Okay. But always have somebody besides your voice record, like, this is so-and-so's house. Also, peepholes. Does everybody have peepholes in their front door? No? If your doors don't have windows, install peepholes. And if you have children, and even in your own bedroom, install peepholes at your eye level, but also peepholes at your childhood level, so they can see who's there. I know that's kind of an affordable, install a video-equipped intercom system. Also, when doors are locked, do you have an intercom system? If you can, please do so, because you can communicate with the outside. Also, don't rely on automatic garage doors. It's easy to roll up garage doors. Have alarm systems, and also have an early warning alarm system that gives you time to get help on the way or get to your safe room. Have a safe room in your house. Safe room. Any questions yet?
What is a safe room?
Whatever you make one to be. A lot of people, the bathroom. There's usually just a small window, but also you can put not a deadbolt lock, but you could put one of those slider locks in. But somewhere that you can get to, that'd be safe. It's like when a tornado comes, where they say for you to go? Bathroom. Or the center part of your house. Equipped with a door jamb, you don't really need in your safe room, you don't need a deadbolt lock or whatever. You can have a broom handle. Any kind of door jamb works. And you always have your cell phone with you. Now, is your first call for emergency, do you dial 911? Do you do that? Should you do that? That's my question. Or do you call a friend or neighbor that lives nearby? Which two will respond quicker?
Usually your neighbor.
Think about that.
You need to know your neighbor's phone number.
Sometimes you need to kind of get to know your neighbors because there is someone. Now, we don't have any neighbors. But I always say there's a long ways to go for them to get to my house, and then when they leave, there's a long ways to go before they get back to their car. So, but just food for thought. A church can be responsible to you. Because I remember in Ohio, we had 10 families that were on the list. And some of them was a block, some of them two blocks. Now for Joanne and I in the country, it's going to take an ambulance or the fire truck 20 minutes, maybe 30. Roger knows if I call, he's right across the road. And he knows if he calls me, I'm right across the road. And we started, thanks to goodness, to another couple. We invited everybody together and we got to know one another. We exchanged their phone numbers. So we have what we call a neighborhood interaction group within a mile or a mile and a half. But who can get there faster? So just food's a thought, but in our church, some of the people knew that they could get there faster than somebody else. And it wasn't just for emergencies, but it was for other things, for help, or can you take me someplace, or I had a flat tire, or just little things like that. But just preparing. I hope that helps. And they always say when you leave your car or your home, always have the key in your hand. We'll talk about that later. No. No. The key is not a weapon. The key will get you into more trouble than you eating M&Ms. So we'll discuss that later too. I was telling Brian that one day, you know what the best weapon is? And I'm jumping ahead of the game. Okay. It's not pepper spray. We had a guy high on amphetamines, and he must have hit that guy 8 times. And he loved it. He wasn't going down. But when I hit him with ammonia spray, down he went. And when you use ammonia spray, you don't have to through the face. Just squirt him anywhere in the body. Just as long as it's close to boom. And it's legal. Ammonia spray can be used for cleaning. Just a little, like at Walmart, they have these little dump out the eyeglass cleaner. Put ammonia in it, folks. And the cops go, oh man, I'm sorry, officer. I grabbed the wrong one. I thought it was, I'm sorry. But anyway, yes. They'll sue you legally. That's a chemical. They'll sue you. Don't do that. First thing a defense attorney will do, said, what's the wasp spray for only? Humans? And you have to answer yes or no. No. Ammonia, it's used everywhere. Anywhere. But wasp spray or chemical spray, like pepper spray. And there was one guy, he was so high, we put him in a gurney. We strapped his arms, his neck, his legs, his body, his shoulder. We were 20 minutes down the road and he ripped every one of those leathers right off. But once I hit him with ammonia spray, and then we injected him with sodium pentothal so he could not, easy go. So, well, let's take a short break.